When you're creating your pro forma, when you're looking at your spreadsheets, be conservative. Be conservative. Like if you're basing your returns that you must have on the highest possible rent, that's probably not a good idea. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Atlanta Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am your host, Spencer Sutton. And I've got a great guest on here today. I went up the food chain all the way to the top, and I found our regional director of operations for, and this guy, his name is Robert Lort. Robert covers our, not only our Atlanta market, but also our Chattanooga market. And so Robert, man, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I asked Robert if he was ready for his podcast debut, but I think he just stays ready, right? So when you're in this game and you're dealing with properties and with investors all day long, you just kind of get ready for anything. So
you have to be.
So you're recording this. You're essentially, your home office is in Atlanta, but right now you're in Chattanooga.
Correct. Yep. Spending some time with the team up here and, you know, making things happen.
All right. So how many properties currently do we manage between the two markets? I know that we've
2,200.
Almost 2,200.
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. Well, that's great. Yeah, I knew we had made some acquisitions up in Chattanooga recently. So I think that market's grown and Atlanta's definitely grown. So Robert, this podcast is really dedicated to Atlanta investors. And so they come on here, they're really seeking some guidance, seeking some insight into the Atlanta market, specifically the Atlanta market. And so here we are at the end of 2022. We're about to move into 2023. And I'd like just your thoughts about, hey, what's the current market like for landlords in Atlanta right now, surrounding areas of Atlanta? Like, What are you seeing? I mean, we have a lot of investors from out of state who invest in Atlanta. So what are you seeing in the market right now?
Yeah. So this year has been really interesting, right? Over the summer months, we've had high demand. Rents were highest we've ever seen them. And the average days on market have been very, very low. We couldn't keep product on the shelf, if you will, right? And then all of a sudden, we hit a brick wall. Sometime in late July, early August, you know, when the interest rates started going up, buyer confidence started going down, we saw a huge decline in the demand. And, you know, the rates seemed to be too high for the market. So we had to do some market adjustments on those, on the rents. And, you know, when we did, we started seeing more and more interest. But I think the market was kind of correcting itself. And that's what we're seeing today, is that market correction. So, you know, rents are a little bit lower than what we were used to seeing in the summer. You know, the days on market have increased as a result because the demand is lower. You know, it boils down to the law of supply and demand.
So yeah.
Right now, they just need to lower their rents and do that. But there's hope, right? There's light at the end of the tunnel.
So, and that's really interesting because I don't think anybody really expected what happened in 2021 and 2022 with the demand. And like, it was just nuts. We had never seen anything like people, our properties were flying off the shelf. Like people could rent them fast enough and the prices were rising, right? So like when people were moving out of properties and owners were like, hey, I want to raise the price, they were actually getting those prices. But now what you're saying and what I feel like in different parts of the country is it's kind of getting back to normal, right? So it's not necessarily a major correction down. It's more like, hey, we're readjusting to normal.
Yeah, there definitely was. It's kind of back down to the normal levels that we've seen prior to that huge spike. Yeah. And I think that's a normal process. But yeah, it was definitely very interesting. But the good thing is, like in Atlanta, there's a lot of commerce coming our way, right? In areas that are more outside of Atlanta. So when you look at the big companies who come in and build their data centers or their manufacturing facilities, they're hitting places like Covington, Conyers, those outskirts of Atlanta where there's still a lot of land available to build their factories or whatnot. But then there's opportunity there for investors to come in and buy that land and build these multifamily properties to have places for these people to work and live at the same time. So we're seeing that as well in these smaller pockets outside of the Atlanta area, which is really interesting.
Yeah. So there's, I would imagine, as big as Atlanta is, there's room for a number of different strategies, a number of different types of investors out there.
Yep.
So what, just kind of getting back to the market thing, were you doing pre-marketing during the summer? Were you doing any pre-marketing, like before the resident moves out, you were saying, hey, this property is going to be available in a month? Or was it all, hey, wait until the resident moves out and then we're going to put it on the market? And what was the lowest days on market that you would see kind of on average in our portfolio?
Right. So we didn't do a lot of pre-leasing. We did in certain circumstances where the properties were, you know, higher quality, things like that. But if they needed a lot of work when we went and looked at them, then we didn't pre-lease those because we just weren't sure how much work we really needed to do to get that done and when the property would be available. But the good condition properties, we did some pre-leasing. It didn't really seem to change much, though, to be honest. We put them online and we did get some interest. But because the demand was so high over the summer that, we were turning properties within 7 to 10 days on average. It was ridiculous how fast we were going through those. So it was definitely a good time.
Yeah. And that really is interesting. Like if you're an investor out there and you're listening to this, you definitely, if you're not using a property manager, if you don't have a system, that's one thing you need to be thinking about is like, how quickly can I turn this property? Because if you're doing, like, if you live in Atlanta, it may be a little bit easier. If you live out of state, like, this is one of the most important things that you do is turning that property when you do have a vacancy, getting it back up to market standard. It needs to be market standard and needs to be a great property so that when you stick somebody in there, you know, they stay a while. I mean, that's one of the things that I've seen, Robert, is that investors will think that they're buying a deal when they buy a property, but really, and they think they're getting a deal, but really what they're paying for is a discount because of a flawed property, right? So the property has a major flaw to it and they think they're getting a deal, but what happens is when they get that property in their portfolio, all of a sudden they realize, well, nobody wants to stay there longer than a year. Nobody wants to stay there longer than 2 years. And I keep having residents move out. And for an investor, you're never going to really build wealth when you do that. You're never going to, that property's not going to be successful when it's turning all the time.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And then, you know, after the summer kind of hit, now we're seeing kind of market average days on market anywhere between 25 and 35 days on average.
Okay.
Since that brick wall we hit, it's definitely been a lot slower, but there's still opportunity out there, especially in those areas I mentioned before.
Yeah. And I would imagine, I mean, this is the time, usually what we like to, or what we see is between Thanksgiving and New Year's, things slow down normally.
Yep.
I don't know if they did last year. Like I'm trying to think 2021, we were still going pretty hard because the market was just nuts, but yeah, definitely seeing a slowdown. So let me ask you this, because we're in a slower market, what are some tips that investors or, you know, tips and tricks that investors can use to potentially rent their properties faster? Like how would you be educating or how are you educating your investors to do this?
Yeah. And Atlanta has some of the toughest competition, not only from, you know, properties to property managers, it's very high. And so one thing you have to do is you have to have a great product to offer. You have to have something that stands out. It's within the price range of the average salaries that, you know, can afford it in that market. You got to keep your property well maintained. You know, people want, Atlanta has a lot of great homes and they want them to be perfect. So you gotta maintain your property. We always have to monitor the market. We always have to be prepared to adjust rents in real time as we see the market fluctuate, because that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And then you have to be patient during downtimes. You know, we're going to have our ups, we're going to have our downs. I think that's normal in real estate. You just have to be patient through that. And then when you're going through and choosing a property management company, you have trust in their systems, their processes, their experience, and you got to have a long-term mindset. You know that you're in this for the long haul. Mm-hmm. And don't be so wrapped up in the short-term gains or the things that are happening, but look at it long-term. You're going to have to make that investment up front to make the property competitive, priced right, and then your tenants will come, and then the long-term investment will be there for you.
So walk me through how you talk with an investor about, because you mentioned, hey, you need to be ready to adjust in real time. So how does that conversation typically go with an investor in our portfolio? Like, how are you monitoring it and what kind of information are you giving them to make this decision?
Yeah, so we monitor it on a regular basis. So when we're doing the onboarding process of these properties, we're constantly looking at the market trends. Are we gaining interest? If we aren't, why? How does this property compare to the other properties in the area? What are the market rates? Are we too high, too low? What's going on here? So we're looking at that, and we're communicating with the investor, letting them know what we're seeing, what they're seeing, and making our recommendations on price adjustments. Now, it can go either way. We've had investors who are very firm. They want a certain price and they want to stick to their guns there. But one thing you have to understand is if you do that and you're higher than the average property in the market, it's going to sit longer. So you have to be okay with longer days on market. But if you're priced right and you have a great product, it will move fast, and you don't have to worry so much about adjusting those things in real time. So they understand that, and they're willing to work with you on that. Then we've got a great partnership.
Yeah, I think like 25 to 35 days, what you were just mentioning, is not all that bad, honestly.
No, it's not terrible.
Yeah. It's not 90 days, right? So people get worried. When I used to deal with investors and talk to them, and they had a property that's been on the market for 90 days, it's one of two things that's the problem. It's either the price or the product. Either you're priced too high or your product stinks. You got to figure out which one it is. And what I would typically tell investors is, if you have a lot of people showing your property, like you have a lot of people going to your property and looking at it, but no applications, then your product stinks. Mm-hmm. If you're marketing your property correctly, but you're not getting any viewings, any showings, then you're priced too high. Like people are very savvy, and especially in a market like Atlanta, you're right. You have tons of competition, tons of great properties. And so they're literally comparing your property with one on the same street or in the block or in that general vicinity. And you've got to be, if you want to rent it within 25 to 35 days, you got to have a good property and have it priced to our price.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And you nailed it with, having properties that you're competing with across the street. We've seen it. The development in Atlanta has boomed. There are a lot of neighborhoods going up. A lot of investors are buying these properties, not only from Atlanta, but from all over the country, right? With property management companies being able to help investors manage them from distances. You're seeing people buy 3, 4, 5 houses in a neighborhood and they're renting them out. And so you're competing with all of those different properties. So yeah, you're definitely being compared.
Yeah, definitely. You're being shopped, and they're smart. People are smart. And even if somebody rents your house and they overpay, like they pay too much, typically they don't stay there too long because they start to get an idea of what the market really is. And they're like, hey, 12 months and I'm out. I'm going to go to something. I can get the same house for a little bit cheaper. So talk a little bit about, you mentioned investors from all over the country. I know that one of a very searched term on Google is, what do property managers do? Because a lot of times, I just spoke with an investor today. She started in Los Angeles. She now lives in Austin. But when she started, all she did was buy properties in LA and manage them herself. But then she was like, hey, I can find more value in places like Georgia and Atlanta and Chattanooga and those places. But you have to learn, like, how does a property manager help you? So if you were to describe this, if you were talking to an investor, what does a good property manager do for an investor?
Yeah. So the number one goal for a property manager is ensuring that the owners have the highest return on investment, right? That's our ultimate goal. And how we do that is, we manage to best practices. We're constantly watching the market. We're making sure that your property is maintained, that we're competitive, and that we're finding well-qualified and eager renters. So doing all of those things and having great communication with the owner is also key. Keeping them in the loop, knowing what's going on, so they feel comfortable with letting go of control of their property, because it's a huge investment for them and they have to trust whomever they're with. And so that's what we do. We try to build that trust. We treat it like it's our property. We do everything that we know we should do to get that marketed. So it's we take the stress off of you. That's bottom line. And we let them focus on what they do best, and that's investing in more properties.
Yeah, I have found that probably the most stressful time with an investor, for an investor and probably for a property manager, is just during that turn period, right? So when you have, there's more communication for you as a property manager and for the investor when you have a vacant property. You're moving somebody out, you're getting an estimate to repair it, you're sending the security deposit back to the resident, you're fixing the property, marketing it. So there's a lot of communication there. Otherwise, I found that really investors, unless they're actively looking for more properties, they're not really communicating with you all that much.
That's the goal, right? The goal is for us to take it over and do everything for them. So yeah, you're right. In the very beginning, it's first impression is everything, right? We've got to make sure that we're treating that property right. We're onboarding it quickly. We're getting it onto the market and we're getting it rented. And then once it is, we manage the tenant and they move on. It's a great relationship, but it is very high touch in the very beginning.
Well, the crazy thing is, you'll get a kick out of this, Robert, is that when we were just in Birmingham, the Birmingham market, I was really in charge of sales for us and I was in charge of owner onboarding. So any new clients I signed up, I would also onboard. And if you know anything about me, I don't have any detail. Right. Like I have zero detail in my personality. And so onboarding is a very detailed type of thing. Like you have to be paying attention to all this stuff. And I would just like, I screwed so much stuff up, but I did communicate. That's one thing I would do. I would communicate, hey, I screwed this up. Let me fix it for you. But yeah, it's a lot in the very beginning, but then once you get it smooth sailing, it's really, really good.
Yeah. And I think people are okay with making mistakes. It's everyone does. It's human nature.
Yeah, that's right.
And to your point, as long as you're communicating, you know, the mistakes early and often, you know, hopefully you're not having them too often, but when you do, you're honest about it, you're telling them about it, and you have a corrective action plan and you're communicating that as well. And that builds confidence and trust, because if you're doing everything right, that's great. But when you're screwing up, you're also letting them know. So that builds that trust.
I think people appreciate that. Yeah. I think you're right. I think people appreciate that because they themselves make mistakes. Everybody does. And it's when you have somebody that just ghosts you and doesn't talk to you, that's when all of a sudden you start making stories up in your mind about what's really going on, and you imagine the worst. And you know, yeah.
So what are they hiding from me? Why aren't they talking to me?
Well, think about this. Why do most people fire their property manager? What we found is that they'll say communication.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's the communication. Oh, the communication was horrible. The communication was bad. And so they have a set expectation of what it should be. And if a property manager falls below that, then they get disappointed in there. And so, well, let's talk about investors in Atlanta. I'd love to know if you had any stories of investors who scaled their portfolio, or like what you see as like common characteristics of the most successful investors in Atlanta.
Sure. So we definitely had an investor in Atlanta who was really aggressive in scaling their portfolio. They started strong. They invested in a lot of properties. They came in kind of at the end of the summertime, right before that wall hit. But you know, they did very well in having a great product. They were well maintained. Their renovations were great. They looked really good, and they were very attractive to renters in the area. But what they didn't do well was ensuring that their pricing was competitive. And when we weren't getting the interest that we knew we could get, we came to them and said, look, this is what needs to happen. Here's where you are compared to the comparables in the area. We need to reduce the rates a little bit to gain more interest. But they were very stuck on maintaining the rents that they had. And so they didn't do any pricing adjustments, which made the property sit a lot longer. And eventually you cave, because you can't sit on it too long. And then when we do lower those, then you start seeing that interest. So be open to that out of the gate, understand that could happen. And it's not permanent. Like you want to get the property rented to cover your expenses, but you know, you sign a year lease. The next leasing period, what is the market doing? Your rates probably will go up, right? And you can kind of recoup your losses there on the next lease go around. But you have to do with what's in the limits of the market, and you can't try to control it yourself, even if you have a larger portfolio. So I think that's the big problem. And then trust your property managers. You know, we've been doing this for a long time. We know how to do this, and so trust that we have your best interests in mind, and we will deliver results as long as you allow us to do what we do best.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And one thing I would throw on top of there is when you're you know, when you're creating your pro forma, when you're looking at your spreadsheets, be conservative. Mm-hmm. Like, be conservative. Like, if you're basing your returns that you must have on the highest possible rent, that's probably not a good idea.
Right.
Also be thinking about, because the market changes, right? Especially if you have properties coming on during Christmas, that's a totally different story than if you have properties coming on in May.
Yeah.
Because we know the summertime is going to be a really good time to lease. And also, I would say, make sure you cover in there CapEx expenditures. I was just speaking with an investor today, and at one point she had 3 heat pumps go out. And so you're talking about, you know, $5,000 to $6,000 each. So CapEx expenditures for roofs, for heating and air systems, for anything big, if there's a big plumbing job. And then, of course, you know, just make sure you're factoring into your budget your normal maintenance expenses, just so that you have the money there. I've seen way too many investors like stretch themselves too thin. Then when their property is priced too high, they get very stressed out.
They do.
Because they're like, oh my word, I can't afford not to have this. And so they get super stressed. And it's not good for them. It's not a good strategy. They start to do things that they shouldn't do.
That's right. And it does hurt the partnership, because you can feel the tension from the investors, you know, and they add that stress a little bit to your plate as well. So you're trying to do everything you can to help them out, knowing that what we really need to do to solve this. But if they're not willing to do those things, then the stress just continues and the frustration builds. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you have to decide, well, is this going to be a good partnership or not? And, you know, go from there. But I think, you know, if we look back to last year, I think these investors, they got spoiled, right? They got these high rents, they got the fast turnaround time, and it was a great time to have a property and rent it. And then the correction happened. Things kind of went back down to their normal levels. But people still expected it, the fast turnaround and the higher rents. And kind of, I don't want to say they were out of touch with reality, but it was a hard pill to swallow to kind of go back to where they needed to be as opposed to where they wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think just kind of getting back to normal is going to be good for investors, because it was abnormal. Like the rate at which we were leasing houses was abnormal. Mm-hmm. And now is more. And again, like we just mentioned, 25 to 35 days is not bad. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
So, it's not.
It's not bad at all. But I mean, there were some that sat longer, but still.
Sure.
You know, it depended on the pricing, the size of the property, the area that it was in. But yeah, and think about this too. When you can think about like the stock market, you buy low and you sell high, right? And so home prices were outrageous. And so everyone was buying them up at these high costs, and their mortgages were a lot higher than what they normally would have been. And so they're trying to cover those costs with that mortgage, which is why they really didn't want to lower their rents, because they didn't want to just, you know, break even. They wanted to make some money. But at the same time, you know, you do what you've got to do. You refinance your property at a lower interest rate when the time comes, and you make it right. So there's always ways to correct it when the market changes like that.
That's right. But if you're so dead stuck on a number to get for rent, and let's say it's $2,000, and that property sits for 60 more days than it should have, then you've just lost $4,000. Like this,
right.
It makes a ton more sense to lower that by $100 a month or whatever the case is.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Usually,
and sometimes that's all it takes. Happen.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes it's just a small adjustment, and all of a sudden, activity picks up.
Yeah. Well, one thing we started doing with our investors that seems to have worked really, really well was understanding what they really wanted to get out of the property and then what their bottom line dollar was. And so what we did is we set them up on a schedule, a price reduction schedule that we agreed to in advance. So if you were at $3,000, but your bottom line was $2,200, for example, kind of an extreme range there, but still,
right.
What we would do is every 10 days, we would reduce the rent on the by about $100 to $150. And we would see if that would increase the interest. And when we got to a point where we started seeing a lot of interest, we would hold, see what would happen. Mm-hmm. And if nothing happened, we would go back to our normal schedule and continue to reduce. And then what that did is that gave us as a property manager, you know, a way of helping the owner get this property rented within our means, but also within their means. And it worked out really, really well. And we didn't go below what they wanted to go to. We found that sweet spot in the market and everybody won.
Yeah. And that is, it really is a numbers game, right? It's like, how can we price it just right so we get the maximum amount of showings?
That's right.
And end up with, if we can get 10 showings and we can get 4 applications, we're going to find one really, really well qualified person.
That's right.
Well, Robert, man, this has been great. I appreciate it. This has been fantastic. I think you're a natural, so I may be coming back to you over and over again for some podcast episodes because I mean, it's great to have somebody, you know, you're obviously the boots on the ground. You're in touch with investors who love Atlanta. That's where you live. And so, yeah. So I appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. This was a lot of fun and look forward to the next one.
All right. Well, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back next month with another episode of the Atlanta Real Estate Investor Podcast.